Good morning, everybody. A little different this morning, but we will get through this. I'm going to be over in the book of Ezra again this morning. Ezra 9, the 9th chapter. I'll give you a second to get there. And I want to talk a little bit this morning, as you bear with me, about an attitude, about the Ezra attitude. And I want to talk a little bit about that here whenever you get over there. Ezra 9. And I'm going to start probably with, read a couple verses, 12 and 13. Now therefore, give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto their sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And after all that has come upon us, for all our evil deeds and for our great trespasses, seeing that thou, our God, hast punished us less than our iniquities deserve. What a thought. And has given us such deliverance as this. Let us pray. Father, as we come this morning, Lord, I come with nothing but thanksgiving in my heart, Lord, this morning for you. I praise you. I thank you for the opportunity for those that are out in the parking lot here this morning. I thank you, Father, for those, Lord, that are gathered in this church here this morning, the handful that are here. And Lord, I want to praise you for that, Lord, as well. Thank you, Father, for this time of year. Thank you for your love. Thank you, Father, for what you have done, Lord, in people's lives and how you draw them closer. And we just praise you for that again this morning as well. God bless, and I thank you for your son, Jesus, that's made this all possible. Amen and amen. I want to say this morning for this, what he's saying there is, in other words, we didn't get what we deserved. That's incredible. Is that not an incredible statement? In this day and age, whenever we think that everybody owes us everything, Ezra makes a very bold claim here. He said, the Lord, all that you have brought upon us because of our sins and our iniquities, in reality, you've punished us less than what we have deserved. That's what he's saying. I think about that statement and how bold it is. And could I make that statement? Could any of you make that statement? I think you would agree with me this morning about that. Listen, the majority of people today walk around with a chip on their shoulders, thinking that everybody owes them something and that they deserve more and that they deserve this and they deserve that. But in reality, if you really think about it, God owes them, and that God owes them more than what they think that they should get. But in reality, with all we have, more today than anyone deserves. I honestly feel that. We have more. We have been given more than what we really deserve. And if people would just honestly look around and see what is coming upon this nation, God is pulling his hand of protection back against us. We're dealing with a global pandemic. Most of the West Coast had burned up this past year. The worst hurricane season, with over 30 named storms. And 6 of them hit our mainland. And I want you to listen to this. We are $27 trillion in debt. This nation spends $1 billion a day. $1 billion a day. And it's only going to get worse. And you think, how much more is it going to take for us as a nation to open its eyes and to get right with God? Over in Isaiah 5, God is telling Isaiah of all the blessings he had poured out upon the nation of Israel. And what he said, he likened it to a vineyard. He said that I have taken all the stones out of the vineyard. I fenced around it. I have planted the best vines in it. Then he tells them, you should have brought forth abundance of fruit. But instead, in verse 4 of there, it says, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. God is asking us as a nation, What more could he have done for us? What more could have God given us as a nation? And let's just flip that around a little bit. What happened to the nation before God gets his attention? What has to happen? What more does God have to do to get the church's attention in the church that his son bled and died for? Ezra looks at all that God had done for his nation, had looked what they had done to that nation. They were in bondage for 70 years. The cream of the crop of their young people removed from the nation and placed in a heathenistic and idolatrous society. They were brainwashed away from God. They seen the temples and the walls at Jerusalem tore down and reduced to nothing but rubble. They see the Israelite people intermarrying with the Gentile people, which led them down to a path of worshiping idols. The leaderships of that time, the kings in those days, hated God and his prophets and the word of God. You remember whenever before Daniel was taken into captivity, they're under the king Jehoiakim, and it says over in Jeremiah 36:23 that he cut up the word of God with a penknife and threw it into the fire. Listen, and the scribes and the Pharisees in Ezra's day caused the people to sin as well. Ezra is saying, at what point does a nation have to start to turn back to God? At what point do the judgment of God get so heavy and so burdensome on a nation that they finally break in their hearts, cry out to God, and say, God, we need your help? I wonder what point this will be for us. I think about this sometimes, but I'm going to say this as Ezra recounted all that had been put upon the nation of Israel. Ezra said to the Lord, you haven't punished us according to our iniquities. You haven't given us all that we deserve. And I thought about that and kept thinking about that as God put it upon me. I thought, that's a pretty incredible statement to make. Don't you wish, like me, that America would be better? That America would be right and get it right with God? Is there anyone besides me frustrated with everything that's going on today? And my frustration is born out of love for this nation. It's not born out of hate or anything like that. It's born out of love. And with that being said, you know, we still get better in this nation. He has blessed us better than what we deserve in this nation. If we as a nation would truly have a heartfelt assessment of our lives before God, no matter what came down the road, no matter what tragedy, no matter what difficulty that come against us, we would take the Ezra train of thought, would we not? God, you're still better to us than what we deserve. You didn't punish us as much as we deserve, God, because we surely deserved it more. And as individuals, let me ask you this. If we would do the same assessment with our own lives and realize that God is better to us as individuals than what we deserve, you might be thinking, preacher, that's big words for anyone to swallow. These are words that are easy to say when life is somewhat okay. I know, I understand that. You let the wheels fall off. You let the wheels fall off this nation. You let a little bit more and see the attitude of those that just go to church. You watch the stock market finally tank. And you watch as the government goes after different parts of your life to try to pay for everything. And they will try and pay for everything promised. Then you see the attitude start to change. When you watch the unemployment come, whenever nobody can get jobs, you think, well, you know what, you're a fearmonger. No, I'm not. I'm being realist here to you. The Bible says that it will wax worse and worse. And it's going to. Then you see that the attitudes in our nation are going to be towards God. And you can't just hear it now. God, we deserve better than what you're giving us. I believe God has punished this nation less than what our iniquities deserve. Absolutely. I hope no one in here this morning or out there in the cars this morning is holding on to the attitude that God owes us something or owes you anything. Does God owe us anything either as a nation or as an individual? No, but I believe we owe Him everything. How about that? Amen. God's still faithful every morning. Lamentations tells us, He says, it is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Great is God's faithfulness. Every day He shows Himself to be faithful. He shows Himself to be good and kind to us as a nation. And I just feel that we all should be a whole lot better off if we would take Ezra's attitude. Lord, we don't even deserve that. And we don't. We certainly deserve less than God's best. I can tell you that. We certainly deserve that. Yet that's exactly what He gives us every day. I praise His name that He gives us the best every day. So wouldn't you agree with me that God like that deserves our very best? I would think you would agree with me. Turn over to Romans 6:23 with me if you wouldn't care, please. As I looked at this scripture, it really stuck out to me. Very familiar scripture. For the wages of sin is death. You know what a wage is? Does anybody out there? I know you do. You know what a wage is. It's something that you have earned. You would agree with me if you hired someone for a certain salary and you got your first paycheck and it was exactly what you agreed to, and you went into your boss and said, I thought it would be more. And your boss would say, isn't that just what you agreed to? Yeah, I worked 40 hours. I worked hard for those 40 hours. But that is what you agreed to for 40 hours. That is what you agreed to. And that's what you get. You get what you deserved. But what is the gift of God? It is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when it comes to spiritual things and receiving wages, why do we have a problem with what God gives us? It's the same principle. We deserve. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You get out of it what you put into it. I don't know what the world thinks everybody owes him something for. I don't know why. We don't deserve anything. We realize there is a difference between a gift and what we've earned. Amen. Absolutely. And we still expect God to bless us. Why is it as a nation or as an individual, we think that they just turn our back on God, turn our back on His commandments, and reject what it says in His Word, and reject the wisdom of the Bible, and yet still expect God to bless? It doesn't happen that way. God is good, and He is still righteous, but when it comes a time when a nation or an individual continues to ignore that, He will remove His blessings from it. When the chastening hand of God begins to come against a nation, when judgment begins to come, when the reaping of what had been sown begins to come, then they get mad at God and begin to question Him. God, why did you let this happen? And God is saying, you did it to yourself. You did it to yourself. You reap exactly what you have sown. You work for it. Again, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Sin is not taken care of will always, always lead to death. It could be the death of a relationship. It could be the death of your fellowship with God, or even your physical death. But the rest of Romans 23 tells us, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The scripture is showing us the contrast. If you live your whole life in sin, what you're going to earn is spiritual death and an eternity in hell. If a person never repents of their sins, if he never repents of his sins, that's what's going to come his way. And they deserve hell and all the torment that goes with it. That's strong language, is it not? Oh, yeah. But that's biblical language. Absolutely. It says, but however the gift. If I was to ask you, is there a difference between a gift and a reward, you would tell me yes. A reward is something you've earned. A gift is something totally different. What do you have to do to receive a gift? What do you have to do to receive it? You just take it, right? You just reach out and take it because someone else is offering that gift. You just reach out and take it. How much do you have to pay for a gift that is being given to you? Nothing. Nada. Zilch. The Bible tells us in many different places that no one can earn salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. What does it say? It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. We can't work our way into heaven. Someone has already done the work for us. And praise His name. His name is Jesus this morning. For the wages of sin is death. That is what someone can earn for eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus is freely offering the gift of salvation to anyone who will receive it. Now, let's add a little bit of an adult understanding to this concept here this morning, if we would. It takes humility to receive a gift, unless we think we deserve it. You want to know why I think some folks aren't saved? A lot of folks don't want to get saved because they're used to working and earning everything that they get. And that's honorable. I have nothing wrong with it. But when it comes to salvation and going to heaven and having your sins forgiven, the only way you're going to get there is to humble yourself enough to say to God, God, I accept the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The only way that you're going to get it. Praise His name this morning. I am thankful that we serve a God that has freely given us salvation. Amen. I can't do it on my own. I need the gift of God. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ, and that's the only way that it's going to happen. I'm blessed to know and to know folks who believed working for a living is something good. Folks with integrity who worked with what they got and were satisfied and content with all that they had. Absolutely. But that's in the physical realm. In the spiritual realm, we have to be humble enough to accept the gift of God, because there's not one person sitting in that parking lot out there that's in this church this morning who can work their way to heaven. You don't have enough time. You don't have enough money. Your good deeds, praise God. You do them, but when you stand before God, those good deeds tell me, they say they're going to be as nothing as filthy rags. So the wages of sin is death. That's what you deserve. But the gift of God. Galatians 6:7 says this: Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ecclesiastes 8:11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Can I tell you this? Payday may not always come on Friday, but payday will always come. Amen. Absolutely. It's coming. Payday will come. You know that if you had to pay for your sins the moment that you committed them, we would quit sinning. But because we don't pay for them immediately, we keep piling them up. Sin on top of sin. We fill that cup up. And can I tell you something? When it comes time to drink it, it's bitter. Absolutely, it is bitter. America has filled the cup to the brim, and it's starting to run over. And God makes this nation drink that cup that it has filled up. Ezra said, God, we deserve every bit of judgment that you've poured out upon us, but you've still been better to us than what we deserve. And can I tell you this morning, this nation had been better, God had been better to this nation to this point than what we deserve. Ezra said, God, we do. Galatians said, for he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I am thankful that God did not make me a robot. He gave me the opportunity to make choices in my life. He sits back and He watches us as we make choices each and every day of our life to see what we're going to do. And everyone sitting out there this morning, and everyone in this church is free to make choices. But when you do, that's where the freedom ends. And you say, why? When you make the choice, because you are not free to choose the consequences of that decision. Amen. Either good or bad. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap a life everlasting. Yes, you are absolutely free to make choices each and every day. But you're not free to choose the consequences that are coming. That's why as a pastor, I will preach and teach to be careful with the choices that you make. Any young people out there, listen to me. Be careful your choice of boyfriend and your girlfriend. Be careful with your choice of a spouse. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're free to do those choices all you want. And they can affect you the rest of your life, whether good or bad. Moms and dads, be careful with the choices you make on how you live your life. You'll be free to choose, but whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Church, we need to be careful of the choices we make as well, because we cannot choose the consequences that will happen when we make those choices. Amen. Understand, there'll be a lot of hidden cost in the choices we make. The Bible says, which of you intending to build a tower setteth down not first, and counteth the cost, whether it be have sufficient funds to finish it. Every time Tink and myself have decided to do a project around the house, we've always got some idea of how much it's going to cost. We just don't say, well, we're going to do it, then just don't even worry about the cost. That never happens, and I'm sure a lot of people out there are the same way. And every time there's always something. And every time there's always something that comes up. Every time. Without fail. Listen, you cannot cover of the choices that you make. You do not understand. We cannot see the hidden cost that's going to be behind it sometimes. And there's always a hidden cost sometimes behind the circumstance, behind the choices that we make. Always. What we can do is live with the consequences of the choice and just blow the budget to try to make it better. It's a simple analogy, I know it is, but hidden cost that could cost us extra money. But what if you're married wrong? And 5 years into it, you figure out, well, you know, you still got to live with the consequences of it. You can say, no, I won't, I'll divorce. You still live with the consequences of it. Do you realize even if you divorce, you still live with that choice the rest of your life, especially if there are children involved? If you choose to embrace sin, I will guarantee you there's a hidden cost to that. Sin will take you further. As I've often said before, it's an old saying, will take you further than what you want to go, keep you longer than what you want to stay. And get this, cost you more than what you want to pay. James 1, 14 and 16 tells us this. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it has finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Man alive, those are words to live by. Do not err, my beloved brethren. The key is this. Sin, when it is finished, it will be finished with you one of these days. Sin will not be, but listen to me, it will not be finished with you till death comes to take you if you do not take Jesus Christ as your Savior. And understand, this is a hard saying. You deserve what you got. I hate to say it that way. As a preacher that loves you and wants you to understand that Jesus is the only way, if you die that way, you deserve what you got. Amen. America's going to find this out firsthand. There have been decisions made by some in this nation that's going to cost it more than they could ever imagine. Sin, when it is finished, will bring forth death. I would venture to say everyone in here over the age of 20 have made decisions in their life never thinking what it would cost him at times. We all have heard and know of the story of Job. A man which God said, there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and escheweth evil. A man who ended up losing his children, his possessions, his health. Now put yourself into Job's shoes, and all this has happened, especially if you're doing your very best to serve and to love God. What would your attitude towards God be? Would it be like Ezra? Would it be like Job? But oh, that Job, God would speak and open his lips against thee, and that he would shew thee the secrets of wisdom that are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth in thee less than thine iniquities deserveth. See a theme in here? Even though Job faced all that he did, he said, exacted it of thee less than thine iniquities deserveth. Here's Job's friend telling him, all you've been through, Job, is less than what you deserve. I can tell you this, I wouldn't counsel somebody like that. I wouldn't recommend you telling somebody that. But it's Bible. It's true. And before we would point a finger at God and say, you're not right in letting God, you're not right in letting this happen to Job. If you go back over to chapter 1, if this man can go through this, what he went through, and you and I have no excuses. Then Job arose, rent his mantle, shaved his head, fell down upon the ground, and say it with me, he worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged Job God foolishly. Man alive. I look at that, and I'm thinking to myself, God, would I be able to say that? Would I be able to do that? But I can tell you, God gives grace when it's needed. Amen. He gives grace when it is needed. When things become more difficult in this nation, and the church suffers persecution like we've never seen before, and if all this happened, can I tell you something? God is still good. Amen. If we're still here when it happens, God is still good. Amen. If all your money is taken away, and all your guns are taken away, and they say you can't preach or gather in the name of Jesus, and they take your Bibles, God is still good. Amen. And we have not gotten what really we deserve. He has still punished us less than what we deserve. Until we come to the realization and say, come what may, you're still God and you're still good. We're going to have problems. Job's having 10 funerals. Did you get that? He's having 10 funerals and saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. All of his possessions that he worked for, all of his life is gone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The next chapter, he loses his health. And Job says this, then his wife said unto him, doest thou not still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as a foolish woman speaketh. What? Shall we receive the good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. In all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. We better be thanking God every day that we don't get what we deserve. This is one old boy here. I praise him that I didn't get what I deserved or don't get what I deserve. Amen. We serve a righteous and a loving God. And remember the next time you question God about something that's happened, remember the words of Ezra. See that thou, our God, has punished us less than our iniquities deserve. Man, love, can you, what words? And it's a theme that runs through the Word of God. That we serve a God that punishes us far less than what we deserve. Praise His name this morning. Julie, as you get a song, if they get a song this morning, I don't know what's if you have a need out there this morning, but if you do, you beep your horn, and I will come out there and we'll pray. Let's do that this morning as they play this song.